You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
All right, so from the big font headlines of the political campaign to something of the fine print, but a fine print that's in bold for some Muslim Americans. Last week, the question of Islam and Muslim Americans and Muslims in American politics came up in some of the debates and questioning of the candidates. Here's Newt Gingrich responding to a question last week about whether he would vote for a Muslim for president.
I think it would depend entirely on whether they would commit in public to give up Sharia. I am totally opposed to Sharia law being accepted by any court in the United States. In fact, I favor a federal law that preempts it and says Sharia law will not be used in any court in the United States.
There may be a doctrine that already preempts the separation of church and state, but in any case, the statement plus the applause might have been chilling to some Muslim Americans. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Here's another example. It comes from Rick Santorum, who expressed some of his thoughts on Islam at a town hall meeting before the South Carolina primary. He was discussing the fundamental principles the U.S. is founded on. Santorum said that the concept of equality, quote, doesn't come from Islam or Eastern religions. Instead, he said it comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of whose names appear in the Holy Quran. So what are we to make of all this? Nizar Hamzi, who is executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in South Florida, he's also a Republican, joins us. Thanks for joining the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good morning.
And Hussein Rashid joins us, professor of religion at Hofstra University. Thanks for being part of the program, Hussein.
Thank you, John.
So let's go to South Florida first. Nizar Hamzi, how chilling is it to hear those statements, or is it no big deal? I suspect you're used to being misunderstood among Washington politicians.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's you know, kind of like you said, it's something that they are doing, unfortunately, quite often these days. You know, using these little sound bites, not going into any explanation or trying to make any sense of what they're saying. You know, it's very ridiculous to hear things like this, but unfortunately, it's become mainstream in my party, unfortunately.
And there have been issues in South Florida of professors who have been held up for various stands on Israel and other sorts of things. So this is an issue that sometimes bursts into the mainstream in Florida politics. Do you expect it to be a theme of this Republican primary in Florida, Nizar Hamzi?
Yeah, I think these candidates definitely will know their crowd. From my experience in dealing with this for the last couple of years, depending on the crowd they are and what part of the state they're in, you'll definitely hear more of an upbeat or an upvolume in the anti-Muslim rhetoric as they get into a more diverse or more metro area where, well, they know that this constituency might actually have Muslims in it. They'll turn that rhetoric down. That's been my experience, but definitely use it up to the primary.
That's a Republican, Nizar Hamzi, who's executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in South Florida, expressing his concerns about what might be a theme of the Florida primary coming up. Hussein Rashid joins us, professor of religion at Hofstra University. How safe is this kind of political tactic in the sense that it gets a lot of attention, but there aren't a lot of Muslim American voters, or at least they're so widely spread out or concentrated in very particular districts that nobody's going to take a political hit for it, are they?
Well, you know, John, I think that this is a problem in that it shows how small the GOP is getting. I mean, you don't want Muslims as a member of the GOP. You don't want gays as members of the GOP. You don't have strong women running in the GOP. And so I think what this shows is that this is safe within the GOP because the GOP is essentially becoming a smaller and smaller party. And it has nothing to do with the way Muslim voters are spread out, because we see lots of pushback from across the nation, from non-Muslims as well, recognizing the rhetoric coming from Gingrich and from Santorum as borderline hate speech.
Can we talk about Gingrich's remarks for a second? Get into the details if you can. He says, I favor a federal law that preempts the use of Sharia law being accepted by any court in the United States. Now, to preempt religious law in U.S. courts, it doesn't necessarily sound outlandish, but you hear something different.
I don't necessarily hear something different. I think it's great that we keep religious law outside of the American courtrooms. And as you mentioned, we have the separation of church and state. So we don't practice Jewish law, halakha, within the American court system. We don't practice canon law, Catholic canon law, within the American court system. I would hope that Gingrich, as a professed Catholic, understands that distinction. It would be great if he understood his history and understood that, you know, in the 1960s when we elected Kennedy, we had the exact same debate. What this is Gingrich is putting out a dog whistle to his constituents, where he can't come out and remind everybody that there's a black man in the White House, which riles people up. And so this becomes the substitute to talk about religion. In fact, Gingrich helps establish the prayer room on Capitol Hill for Muslims. So I think the irony is just right. Hmm.
Although that might be an argument in his favor that he would point out if we were to confront him on this issue, which we don't have the opportunity to do this morning. Nizar Hamzy, let's take it out with you. In Florida, what do you say to people in the GOP when you hear this sort of thing? We've talked to Latinos around the country who try to express their frustrations over Republican rhetoric regarding issues of concern to them. How is that experience for you?
Well, I can tell you the only thing that we can do is I'll continue to educate, because the overwhelming majority of the GOP that use these political rhetoric have absolutely zero knowledge of the Sharia or Islam. When you actually engage in conversation and you take them to task and you please say, explain to me what your fear is, explain to me, they regurgitate the parrot talk of, Sharia's taken over the Constitution, and, just the same old they hear all the time. So,
are Democrats any better?
I have run into some Democrats that do espouse the same words, but the only thing we can do is just educate them and just continue to have patience, and hopefully the message will get across.
Well, we'll see how it goes in Florida. Certainly the rhetoric is going to be heated because of the competition between Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum still in the race, and Ron Paul, of course. Nizar Hamzy is Executive Director of the Council on American Islamic Relations in South Florida. He's also a Republican. And Hussein Rashid joined us. He is a professor of religion at Hofstra University. Gentlemen, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.